The secret of satisfaction is relationship with Christ, whereby God is continually ministering to our needs, especially in the spiritual dimension.
Are you ready to sink your teeth into Scripture and get a bulldog grip on its truth? Let's gnaw on some doctrine and get bulldogmatic. Here is your host.
Okay, Pastor, chapter 13 is written by Joseph Skip Ryan. Now that he's, is he a pastor? Is he an author or pastor author?
You know, this is the only time I've ever heard of him is in
really?
This book. Yeah,
me too. I haven't come across any of his writings other than what I've read here, but he does an excellent job in writing this devotion. This devotion is called I Am Thirsty. And this made me think a lot about thirst. You know, being thirsty is, or being refreshed with drink in this country is something we don't think about a whole lot, is it?
No, not unless you're living in the parts of the Southwest America where, you know, you do have desert, Southern California and the Arizona deserts, those areas, those some sections of Utah and Nevada, of course, very brown, dry, barren, and water is a premium.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of us who can walk down to the corner store and get a bottle of water or have water fountains here or there or have fresh water rivers flowing, etc., we really do take it for granted.
Right. He looks at John 19:28, and that reads, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. Now, when we think about a thirst, Pastor, and we're looking at the cross, Jesus was dying on the cross. And this was like Arizona
in
Jerusalem, hot, arid place. When we think about that, water is something that's absolutely necessary for us to live, right?
Right. Yes, it is absolutely necessary. And you've got to remember he suffered blood loss.
Right.
He has been up for 24 hours. His body is definitely suffering dehydration and all of the problems that presents. I know that I don't do enough hydrating. And everything I've heard about is you can get muscle cramps from it. So in addition to all the other suffering he's going through from the whippings, the beating, the fatigue, it's very possible he's having muscle spasms because he is dehydrated and thirsty. So there's that human side of the cry for I thirst. And I'm sure you're going to come to the spiritual side, which was a fulfillment of Scripture, that he's not just thirsty. And if I were to unpack that, I would use it to highlight the aspect of spiritual thirst, a thirst for God, not just for water.
Exactly. Is food and water is a necessity, right? It's not a luxury.
No, it's an absolute. If you're going to stay alive on this planet, it's funny. There was a group some years ago called the Breatharians. Okay. And lest anybody think this is just crazy, the actress Michelle Pfeiffer was a member of these Breatharians. And they actually thought that all you needed to survive was to be able to breathe. They didn't believe that you needed food or water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the most bizarre. And you think someone like that would buy into that. Again, I would argue indicates our deep brokenness.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere, and things like this stick in my mind for some little trivial things. The person has said it's the rule of three. It says you can go 3 days without water and 3 weeks without food. So you can't go long without water. Our bodies are what? Made up of what? Like 70 or 80%
water. Yeah. If your body dries out, you've had it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on the spiritual side, too. Of course, when Jesus was dying on the cross and he called out, I was thirsty, do you think he was physically thirsty?
Yeah, I think it was both, because again, God always works in our lives to bring about spiritual truth. So I think it was both. He was thirsty physically, parched probably, but it also had that spiritual dimension. Of course, he wants to fulfill the scripture. And I'm pretty sure one of the gospels say, you know, he said this to fulfill the scripture. So there's that concept of it. But also, as we've touched on, I think, already in this series about the separation, his being forsaken by God, or we're coming to that, there's that spiritual thirst. Oh, God, as the deer pants for the water brooks, oh, God, so my spirit thirsts after thee. That is the spiritual dimension of that concept as well.
Well, Skip Ryan brings up Luke 16:19-31, which is the rich man and Lazarus. And I've heard you preach on or teach on this before. Can you tell us how the rich man's heart is revealed in this? Do you believe this is a parable or a real story?
I think it's a real story. I believe it is a real story about a real person that Jesus is talking about. Typically, people who believe it's a parable don't believe in hell, so they have to turn it into a parable. The problem with that is that a parable is meant to convey some dimension of spiritual truth. What possible spiritual truth is being revealed here? Our eternal destiny without God. But the rich man demonstrates the same selfishness that he did in life. Lazarus laid at his gate, his wounds being licked by the dogs. There's no reference, and you can say, well, it's just a short verse. Granted, there's no reference that the rich man has given any attention to Lazarus at all. And when he wakes up in hell, he continues to treat Lazarus with the same kind of disrespect. Send him from that place of comfort over here to this place of torment to serve me. That's exactly what he's saying. So that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. We can get caught up in the horrors of hell and miss the significance of this. The man has had no change of character. He says, send him to serve me in this place of horror. So there's no change after death. If your soul has not been altered and transformed before death by a relationship with Christ, you are the same person throughout eternity, and thus you suffer eternally for that sin.
It's interesting that he's in hell, and he's still as selfish as he was before he was cast into hell, but he's thirsty. He's thirsty. That's one of the things he asked for, is refreshment.
Right.
Do you think it is physical and also it's spiritual, or is he, with his attitude, is he just all selfishness and he just wants to be refreshed with the water?
I would say we'd get into trouble with the physical aspect, because this is obviously before the resurrection of the body. We're seeing the souls, if you will, of Lazarus and the rich man. So we could not make a definitive expression about physical thirst, but the concept is the same. I am in torment. I need relief. And his natural thing would be, I need relief from these fires. The natural response is, give me some water. You know, let me be refreshed by that.
In hell, will he ever be refreshed?
No, that's the horror of it. There's hell is a constant longing for what you cannot have. And whether it's fine wine or sexual conduct or a chance to undo a mistake, I don't know that that's the right phrase, to undo a mistake. I'm not sure people in hell think they've done anything wrong. They think God is being unfair to them by sinning. They're good people. I'm a basically good person. I don't deserve to be here. This is human nature. it's a joke. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's worth the illustration that there are no guilty people in prison. Everybody there's innocent. Right. You know, I didn't do anything. I don't deserve to be here. And you can hear that refrain in hell, but there's never any satisfaction, never any satisfaction of any of your wants or desires or need. There's just a constant crying out for the things you can never have.
Mm. Hell's one place you want to do avoid. Everything you can to avoid.
Come to Christ.
Come to Christ. And it's so simple, and people miss it. It's yeah. It's so simple that people miss it. What a shame. Well, Pastor, Jesus was talking. He spoke of water quite a bit. And it's easy to overlook if you don't think about it. But at the woman at the well, that's a story that's taught to little children.
Right.
You know, but there he says, everyone that drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's talking about the water from the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. So what's, is he taught about, Pastor, what is the secret of satisfaction?
The secret of satisfaction is relationship with Christ, whereby God is continually ministering to our needs, especially in the spiritual dimension. This is one of the reasons why it talks about in Revelation, when everything's done, there's a river of life. It's flowing out of it's a symbol. Again, it's one of those most fundamental aspects of human existence, and it's become a symbol of the spiritual supply of God. Mm-hmm. In fact, the book of Revelation, one of the last things it says is, whoever thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Mm-hmm. The Spirit and the bride say, come, mm-hmm. come and drink of the water of life freely. So it's a metaphor of God's supply of our spiritual needs.
In John chapter 7, I believe it's 37 through 38, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That's what you just quoted. Whoever believes in me, the scripture has said, out of his heart shall come flowing, living water. So is water an image of spiritual abundance in our life?
Yeah, I would say that. I would agree with that. Yeah. And it's also important, you get some debate about this, when Jesus is out of his belly, whose belly is he talking about? The individual believer? Or out of himself, okay? Whoever comes to me out of his belly, out of a relationship with me, comes this fountain of living water. Or does it refer to the Spirit dwelling in the believer? Either one, the source is ultimately God. It is not me, it's not you. The source is God, supplying what we need in that spiritual sense, mm-hmm. completely and abundantly.
In heaven, there's a river in heaven, correct? What is that?
Yeah, it's that same metaphor.
It's the same metaphor.
Eternal supply of all that you would possibly want and need. And it's important, you said this. 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. Mm-hmm. Without water, there's no food. If we don't rain, we have drought. If we have drought, we have famine. Uh-huh. Even if there's no water, there's no fish in the sea. Look at all the food that's provided by the oceans. So that's why water becomes the predominant emblem, okay? Because everything exists because of the water on our planet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the perfect metaphor, the ultimate metaphor for our spiritual satisfaction, because everything comes from
water.
From water. A little Amish saying that we came across some years ago said, we owe our lives to 6 inches of topsoil and timely rains. Mm-hmm. We owe it all. And the rain, you can have the topsoil, but you don't get the rain. It's not going to work. Right. And of course, we don't know that. We don't understand that today, again, because we have developed, we've got all this electricity and the ability to pump water and irrigation and all of this. And they did have that to some degree in the past, but not to the extent that we have it today, and that we just take it for granted. Mm-hmm. We just take it for granted.
Well, when we look at the Earth itself, what percentage of the Earth is...
Like 3/4, yeah.
Yeah, of the Earth is water, but most of it is salt water.
Salt water.
Now, can we drink salt water?
Nope, you can't do that.
So most of the water that's available on Earth would have to be desalinated before we could use it. But we can only drink fresh water, which falls from
falls from the heavens. But how does it get in the heavens? And that is, it evaporates out of the oceans.
Right. Out of the oceans, and that's a natural.
And it becomes,
takes the salt out.
Yeah, the salt doesn't evaporate. The water evaporates. The salt doesn't.
Incredible.
And so then you have it, and it falls to Earth as snow or rain, and it accumulates in lakes and runs down in rivers and comes out of underground springs. I just feel so pitifully sorry for the people who say it's all an accident.
Right.
Just happened.
Looks and sounds like intelligent
design. It sure does to me. Yeah. Yeah.
But can we look at that kind of in a spiritual way too? That we live in this world, but most of the water that people are trying to drink is salt water.
Yeah.
And they don't come to Christ and get the pure water that'll satisfy.
Yeah, because what the world offers just makes you thirsty again.
Yeah.
If you drink salt water, and it's been documented, people have been shipwrecked and they go as long as they can on what without water, but then they try to drink the salt water, it just makes them thirstier.
Right.
And so there's no satisfaction.
So you can actually be surrounded by water and die of thirst.
And it is an excellent metaphor for the culture, you know. They're trying to satisfy themselves with self, with the things that are available from the world rather than going to Christ. And there's no satisfaction. There's no satisfaction apart from Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, in the verse that we're looking at, John 19:28, it says, to fulfill the scriptures, Jesus said, I thirst. Now, we could probably immediately, I think of Psalm 22, where he's forsaken. He talks about being forsaken and being thirsty. But can we think also back? I think also back to Moses in Exodus when he comes out and he's told to strike the rock. I think is the rock of Horeb. Is that correct?
Right.
Can we think? Is that when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, and all drank. They were talking about Moses and coming through the desert, and it says that they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When we thirst, can we look at this and say, is it a stretch to say that it's a glorious illustration of salvation, this?
Oh, no, not at all. It's not a stretch at all. It's the whole metaphor has to do with that concept of being rescued and delivered from our sins and having God provide the satisfaction that we need in our lives, which is ultimately spiritual satisfaction.
Amen. Jesus, the Rock of Ages, was smitten for us, correct?
So, yes.
So the when Moses struck the rock, he was smiting the rock. So when Christ died on the cross, he was smitten of God,
right.
Correct?
Correct. Correct.
And because of that Jesus was smitten for us out of... When he was smitten, also, a lot of people don't think about this, and I don't think Skip Ryan brought this up, but... Does it have any significance that when Jesus was struck, when he was on the cross with the spear, out came blood and water? Does that have any spiritual significance?
Well, that one's a little more debated. I think that one of the upcoming sections is John Calvin on that consideration. But many commentators say that the blood and the water symbolize salvation and baptism, salvation and regeneration, cleansing and regeneration. So but it is significant. Whatever side of the debate you settle on, there is a significance to blood and water. John doesn't have to tell us either one came out. He could have just said they speared him and he died. He's trying to call our attention to something, but commentators are generally divided on the exact significance.
So when Christ was smitten on the cross, that gives us refreshment, as the Israelites were refreshed by the rock.
Right. Exactly. Smitten. Yeah. Our salvation is a refreshing, I'm thinking of that passage just now in the book of Acts that it talks about you will receive. Christ went to heaven until the times of refreshing or something to that. I'm going to learn quit quoting scriptures that I'm not clear on.
You're pretty good at it.
It's talking about there's a refreshment. There's a refreshing for the people of God in Christ.
So be refreshed. Again, come to the cross, come to Christ.
Amen.